final case of the day, Schreiber against Astru. Ms. Slater.
May it please the Court, Anna Slater on behalf of the appellant Sharon Schreiber. The main issues in this case are the treating psychiatrist's opinion of Ms. Schreiber and also the credibility determination which was made by the administrative law judge. Our first issue is that this case should be reversed with an award of benefits because the administrative law judge improperly rejected Ms. Schreiber's treating psychiatrist's opinion. Ms. Schreiber's treating psychiatrist for over 10 years, Dr. Mary Belford, diagnosed Ms. Schreiber with bipolar 1 disorder with mixed episodes. Bipolar 1 is the most severe type of bipolar disorder, and it has characteristics of both mania and major depression. And the mixed episodes refers to the person having periods where the symptoms of mania and depression occur daily. Dr. Belford opined in June of 2007 that the plaintiff's abilities were poor, which was defined as no useful ability to function, in various areas relevant to the ability to do work-related activities. However, despite Dr. Belford being Ms. Schreiber's longstanding psychiatrist, the ALJ did not properly analyze her opinion and did not discuss the factors required by the regulation. Dr. Belford's opinion should have been given controlling weight in this matter because it was well supported by her notes as well as the other evidence of record. The records noting anxiety, reduced energy level, loss of concentration, impaired immediate memory, and difficulty with the Serial 7 test, which tests for concentration, all support the doctor's opinion that Ms. Schreiber would have a poor ability to maintain attention and concentration for extended periods, as well as to keep up pace at the job. The notations of anxiety, anhedonia, crying spells, persistent feelings of sadness, and a labile affect, which is defined as rapid changes in emotion unrelated to external events or stimuli, support Dr. Belford's opinion that Ms. Schreiber would have a poor ability to work with others without being distracted by them, as well as accept instructions and respond appropriately to criticism from supervisors. In rejecting Dr. Belford's opinion, the ALJ erroneously stated multiple times that the last treatment note in the record was from January of 2007, when the last treatment note was actually from February of 2008. The error in the ALJ ignoring all the post-January 2007 notes is important because the five later treatment notes contain notations of continued serious symptoms, including racing thoughts, irritability, crying spells, low energy level, poor impulse control, and not leaving the house, as well as Dr. Belford having to continually adjust Ms. Schreiber's medication. Aside from that clear factual error, the reasons the ALJ gave for rejecting Dr. Belford's opinion are also insufficient. The ALJ rejected Dr. Belford's opinion because he found that the evidence supported that Ms. Schreiber experienced a significant improvement with treatment. However, in doing that, he improperly relied on notes from days when Ms. Schreiber was doing better or on any of the positive notations in the treatment notes. And he failed to recognize the episodic nature of bipolar disorder. For example, the note relied on by the ALJ from January 2007 to show that Ms. Schreiber had significantly improved reveals that while Dr. Belford did indicate some level of improvement, the doctor also wrote, "She is definitely not back to her usual self. Her concentration and memory are still extremely poor, and her sleep is poor." And the doctor also increased Ms. Schreiber's medication, which showed that her current symptoms were not being currently managed by her current medication regimen. In the note before the very last note in the record, Ms. Schreiber hadn't been able to leave her house in a couple of weeks due to her severe depression. That does not support that she had improved to the point where she was able to maintain a full-time job. While the ALJ picked out evidence that he thought showed that Ms. Schreiber had improved, Dr. Belford's opinion reflects the totality of the evidence with fluctuating symptoms. This court reversed for an award of benefits in the Puncio case, where the claimant's treating psychiatrist based her assessment on her own and her colleagues' observations. This court noted that while the claimant there also showed some progress with treatment and had a stable drug regimen, the severity of her symptoms continued to wax and wane, which supported her treating psychiatrist's opinion. In Bauer, this court also held that the ALJ made a similar error in relying on hopeful comments in the treating psychiatrist's notes to reject that opinion. This court found error even where the notes at issue contained a number of hopeful remarks. Those notes contain notations similar to what we have here, is that she was doing quite well or her reported level of function was found to have improved. And just to demonstrate this point a little bit more, in the November of 2005 note from Dr. Belford, Ms. Shriver reported she was feeling a little bit better, but then the note later says that she was feeling numb and didn't want to do anything and could hardly make herself take a shower. In May of 2007, she reported that she was doing much better than this time last year. However, she was reporting or comparing herself to how she felt last year at the same time when she had to be psychiatrically hospitalized. The example she gave to support her statement that she was doing much better was that she was able to go out in her garden and garden. That does not support someone who's so proud of themselves that they can occasionally go out in their own garden in a relaxed environment would be able to maintain a 40-hour-a-week job in a factory where you have to keep up a certain pace and you have to, you know, assemble as many products as your coworkers. Otherwise, you're not going to maintain that job. In August of 2007, Ms. Schreiber said she was overall feeling better because less than last year because she was now eating and her sleep was a little bit better. And in November of 2007, she was saying that she overall felt better, but it comes and goes. And she had not left the house in a couple of weeks except to come to her psychiatry appointment. All of those notations show that while there are some hopeful comments which the ALJ relies on and which the commissioner relies on in their brief, those are not enough to overcome the treating psychiatrist's opinion. So we submit that an award of benefits is appropriate here, where we have an opinion from the treating psychiatrist which is supported by her treatment notes reflecting continued serious symptoms and medication adjustments, and which is also consistent with the other examining sources in the record. Secondly, the ALJ failed to make a proper credibility determination in this case. He stated that in finding her not credible, he stated that the record establishes she could perform a wide variety of daily activities, and he cited examples, but he erred in ignoring the qualifications on those activities. He didn't state that the psychological consultative examiner said that she often let the chores around her home go, or he didn't consider her testimony that she only was able to do chores on days she was feeling better. So that did not provide a proper basis for finding her not credible. I see I'm into my rebuttal time. So.
Thank you, Ms. Slater. Mr. Religio.
May it please the Court, Brian Alicia on behalf of the Defendant Appellee, the Commissioner of Social Security. The ALJ's decision reflects that he properly considered Dr. Belford's opinion and reasonably articulated and supported his credibility finding. Ms. Shriver worked for several years while under Dr. Belford's care, and alleged disability onset date of December 2005 when she experienced increased symptoms after attempting to open her own business. The ALJ notably adopted the opinions of state agency reviewing psychologists, Drs. Taylor and Havens. He also found that Dr. Belford's treatment notes indicated that Ms. Schreiber's condition had improved with treatment, that she had no significant medication side effects, and that the record contained no notes since January 2007, showing any significant worsening in her symptoms. This January 2007 note was reviewed by state agency reviewing psychologist Dr. Havens, and the ALJ found that the record had no treatment notes showing any significant worsening. Ms. Slater argues that the ALJ erred because he mistakenly stated that the most recent treatment notes were from January 2007, but again, after making this remark, he also repeatedly found that the record contained no treatment notes after January 2007 that would establish any significant worsening in Ms. Schreiber's symptoms. He also adopted the opinions of Drs. Taylor and Havens, who found overall improvement in Ms. Schreiber's condition in January 2007. And Ms. Schreiber does not challenge the ALJ's reliance on these opinions. The ALJ reasonably weighed Dr. Belfer's opinion and found it conclusory and not well supported by clinical findings. Dr. Belfer made a number of findings that either Ms. Schreiber had a poor or fair ability in 23 enumerated activities. And in any space provided for support for that opinion, she repeatedly wrote clinical interview. Now, Ms. Schreiber claims that treatment notes alone support this opinion, but she does not explain why these report of symptoms support such a restrictive opinion. And the ALJ reasonably adopted state agency reviewing psychologists' opinions who considered this evidence. Dr. Taylor in particular noted that Ms. Schreiber had varying responses to medication and to treatment, but he did find that she was able to do the limitations that the ALJ adopted as his residual functional capacity. And Ms. Schreiber also claims support from Dr. Baucus' November 2006 consultative exam. There were some reported problems with doing serial sevens and with memory, but Dr. Baucus also reported normal recent and past memory, thought processes, and fund of information. And the ALJ considered that Ms. Schreiber told Dr. Baucus she independently performed her activities of daily living. Notably, Dr. Baucus did not offer an opinion that Ms. Schreiber was disabled or suffered from any disabling limitations. The ALJ reasonably found that this lack of clinical findings in Dr. Belford's opinion was significant because it was inconsistent with her own treatment notes. The ALJ found that Ms. Schreiber's symptoms improved with medication and with treatment, that the record contained no significant reports of medication side effects, and the record supports this finding. Ms. Schreiber claims that there was not evidence that she improved with medications because there were reports of significant side effects from these medications. However, with, for instance, Lamictal, that medication was increased in May and November of 2006. Ms. Schreiber complained of increased nausea from that increase in dosage, and in January 2007, that dosage was decreased. There's no further mention of any problems with Lamictal after that point. Similarly, with Geodon, that medication was prescribed in June 2006 to augment Ms. Schreiber's Effexor. It was increased again in January 2007 slightly, and Ms. Schreiber in February 2008 complained of having bad dreams from that medication. Finally, Ms. Schreiber cites her problems with Xanax. But Ms. Schreiber was prescribed Xanax beginning in December 2005 through June 2006, and as the ALJ noted, she made no complaints of any significant medication side effects. She was again prescribed Xanax in August 2007, but there are no reports of any significant side effects other than her testimony that she needed to lie down after taking Xanax when she testified at her hearing. But that's not supported in the record, given the number of years she took Xanax with no instances of complaints.
She just got more tired.
Well, Your Honor, she...
That happens. Go ahead.
The record shows that she made no complaints of any fatigue from taking Xanax other than in her administrative hearing, despite the fact that she took Xanax for a number of years. And the ALJ also properly evaluated Ms. Schreiber's credibility. It was not a conclusory finding, as Ms. Schreiber claims. Rather, the ALJ considered Ms. Schreiber's subjective statements, her treatment history, the medical opinions of record, and no significant side effects from her medications, as well as her activities of daily living. Now, the ALJ did not mention all the qualifications Ms. Schreiber made to her activities of daily living, but he did indicate what she typically did in a day, and he considered her activities of daily living a factor, not the presuming factor in his credibility finding. Finally, I would like to note that Ms. Slater, in her argument, requests that the court remand this case for benefits and cites both Punzio and Bauer. But in Punzio, the ALJ rejected the treating source's opinion on two very narrow and mistaken grounds. First, he singled out a single GAF score from the treating psychiatrist's notes of 60, and then the only other ground he gave for rejecting that opinion was that the treating psychologist was asked to provide her opinion by the plaintiff's attorney. We don't have that case here. We have the ALJ offering several grounds for rejecting Dr. Belford's opinion. And Ms. Slater also suggests that the case should be remanded for benefits because of the Bauer case. But in that case, there were repeated episodes of hospitalization and hallucinations. And in this case, we have episodes of improvement with medication and the ALJ's finding that there was no significant worsening in the plaintiff's condition after January 2007. Finally, I would note that the ALJ reasonably considered both Schreiber's fatigue and allegations as to panic attacks and side effects from Xanax. As I already mentioned, throughout her treatment history with Xanax, Ms. Schreiber did not report any side effects from taking Xanax. And as far as her fatigue allegations, the ALJ noted that Ms. Schreiber denied fatigue in January 2007 and that she reported no significant worsening of her symptoms since then. Now, Ms. Slater points out that Ms. Schreiber complained of fatigue in November 2007, and in response, Dr. Belford prescribed a small amount of Provigil. She then reported in the next treatment note that the Provigil made her irritable, so she discontinued it on her own, but she denied any fatigue. And I see that my time is up. If the panel has no further questions, I would respectfully request that the court affirm the ALJ's decision. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Ms. Slater?
My first point is that Ms. Schreiber didn't have to show that there was a significant worsening of her condition. What she has to show is that she's not able to work full-time, and whether Dr. Belford's opinion should have been controlling weight, which we submit she did show. So there's no basis or legal requirement that she has to show some sort of significant worsening. And the commissioner relies greatly on the opinions of the reviewing state agency doctors who never examined Ms. Schreiber. However, their reliance on those opinions does not excuse the ALJ from analyzing Ms. Schreiber's treating psychiatrist opinion. Under the regulations and case law, a contrary opinion of a state agency doctor is not sufficient to, on its own, overcome the treating psychiatrist opinion. And as to whether the post-January 2007 notes would change those state agency doctor opinions or the ALJ opinions, neither of which considered any of those notes, is pure speculation. And also, the commissioner does not point out where those state agency doctors explain their opinions, because here we have the treating psychiatrist opinion who treated her for a very long period of time. And just real quickly about the activities of daily living, the commissioner asserted that the ALJ did not unduly weigh those. However, in the ALJ's decision, he said that that was supports that her mental impairments have not resulted in work-related limitations, and he also used them to find her not credible, to reject her treating doctor opinion, and to accept the opinions of the state agency doctor opinion. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.